Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This is a year, like Franklin Graham is reminding us, that as American citizens, all of us have an obligation to get educated about our government, where we're going as a country, where we would like it to go as a country. We cannot blame where we are as a country on 530 folks. It's us sending them there. If we want it, if we wanted to change, we can change all 530. That's how easy it would be. But to get educated, to spend time, just block some time, take some time, say, you know, I'm going to spend this much time a week up until the primaries, which could be really soon. I know that in it's probably 30 days away in the Florida area, but it's different for every state. And say, I'm going to get to know the candidates. Believe me, they're calling you. They want to answer the phone and talk to you.
Visit their websites. Don't rely on just some, you know, 30-second news clip or, you know, something that's said by somebody else, but an opposing person who's running. Go go to their website and get familiar with their policies and what they their vision. Because each what's interesting is that each candidate has a message and a vision. And in a process with that, you got to analyze and find out for yourself, is the vision that they want to put forward for America, is that anywhere in according to God's values, or is this something that's completely different or even against the Constitution?
And don't just check their website once, because they change so often. Check it often and find out, it's like they were thinking this way on the issue, but now they're thinking this way on the issue, and you kind of track how they're changing. But also that you have to participate. So one way that we do it, we get educated. We just don't call up Uncle Bobby, you know, who watches some news channel, and you say, you know, who are you voting for? You know, and then you just go pull a lever, like, and you find out it was just a friend of his running that has total different values than you. You've got, they owe it to you. The person who's wanting to represent you, they owe you the time. And if they don't give you the time before they get in office, guaranteed, you won't even know they exist once they get in office.
That's right.
And including senators, you know, Congress, they're your representative. This is why when a Congress person, for example, a senator goes onto a United States Navy ship, you have all these captains and admirals and whoever on the ship, all these sailors on there. But you know what they do? As soon as a senator walks on the ship, the entire ship stops. They ring the bell and they say the United States is arriving. You know why? Because that's you arriving on that boat. That's your representative saying, I want to see what's happening on the ship. That's your man and your woman that represents you. And so wouldn't you want to know who's actually going to downsize and destroy our military versus upgrade and take care of our military? And then, you know, once you vote, you know, this is what Congressman Jeff Miller does and quite a few. What is the room number that they the prayer room? I forget the name of the room. We'll make it available to you on the torch. But they actually go vote. And then they go to this particular room, you know, Christian leaders do, and they pray after their vote, because they're only one vote.
Right.
But they pray asking God, dear God, you know, end the funding of Planned Parenthood, for example, which they didn't recently. But then once that's done, once you vote and once you pray, I mean, God sees that. It's like standing up with George Washington and say, I'll stand beside you with this ragtag army, these people coming against this nation, and I'll fight with you. But we don't have to physically fight in America at this particular time. We just got to vote.
That's right.
So when you vote, that's how aggressive that is, to get educated, to meet the people who want to represent you and know them by their name and meet their spouse. Spouse tells a lot about, you know, a particular someone and their family. How's their family going? But then once they're there, stay in communication with them. But also now you have to participate in the process of government. Freedom only works when people know the laws and obey the laws. As a matter of fact, listen to Yale University as they talk about it. Take a look at this.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston, and I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah, I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
And it's interesting, you're seeing that obviously it's Harvard, but you can't, all of this thing works together. There's no, this freedom does not work if you don't participate.
This
in
is
it.
Not a spectator, a sport, right? You have to be engaged.
And a lot of people have been convinced by people who don't want this democracy as we know it, to say, don't worry about nothing. I think even one particular, the vice president said it one time, just learn how to play a guitar, you know, learn how to hobby, get yourself a hobby. And, you know, well, that's socialism. If I don't have to work, you know, and all of a sudden freedom start, you know, leaving us and going away. Freedom, you know, you have to be busy about freedom. One way to do that is to find out about your country, you know. And as a Christian, you know, when you think about what he's saying here, the professor from Harvard is, the reason why America works and worked like it did is because people had a fear of God. They would go to church and they would understand the teachings of God, and it made sense that people did what was right because they feared what would happen with them and God, not what would happen with them and the government. You know, the police or something like that. Right. People go, they're more worried about what the police is going to do, you know, than what, you know, how God's going to think about it. And it's like, you didn't do wrong if the police didn't catch you. And that's today. The day is, it's about that viewpoint.
Absolutely.
But if we want freedom, we're going to have to get in there and begin to understand, you know, read the Constitution. You know, we're going to be talking about our next program.
Get your pocket Constitution and read it. Be familiar with it and understand the original intent of our country, why it was founded, and what they were breaking free from. I mean, the Declaration of Independence wasn't just about, you know, taxes. It was 27 individualized reasons. Well-written,
only one of which was taxation or representation, but 27 total.
27 total, right. And that gives you a clear understanding, you know, of why this country came about.
I think it's important because you think about this. We'll talk about this in our next program. Make sure you catch it about the Fourth Amendment. But the technology and things that are unfolding, our Fourth Amendment rights are just have to be totally redefined again about how, because they're moving everything to a realm that's not constitutionally protected. They're moving so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if you have one of those phones you hear on a television commercial that says, listen, you know, for $9.99, you can get this phone and it comes over the internet and, you know, this type of thing is going, don't worry about it. But what you did when you left a actual physical landline with a wire running to your phone, and you went to the internet,
a VoIP type of phone,
voice over internet protocol is what it's called, but just that internet type phone, then you lost that. There's laws that are over that piece of wire that ran to your other phone, but they're still trying to figure out how they're going to, the laws over your conversations and what you're saying over this internet.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, most of that stuff goes right to your internet service provider. And they know more about information about you, they say, than Google or Yahoo and these other companies. And with that, you know, what are they doing with that information? And if the government just knocks on your internet service provider's door and says, you know, hey, we want so-and-so's records or everybody's records, no constitutional.
Which they have already, AT&T.
Yeah. And there's no constitutional protection over a company just going, well, here's the phone records, which has all your pertinent information on it. And it's like, we're going into a realm that we have to begin to rediscuss, you know, what was the founding fathers' original intent of the United States Constitution. And when you talk to your people who want to represent you and they want your vote, you need to ask them, what do you think about the Constitution? And they go, well, you know, that doesn't concern me because I won't vote for that because I'm going to be a state senator. Or it matters. All these latitudes and longitudes of questions that you ask them, even if they may not vote on them, you got to say, I want to know how you're going to vote on it.
That's
if you had to vote on it, how would you vote on it? Because that tells me about you. And if you aren't willing to tell me how you're going to vote on it, I'm not willing to vote for you.
That's right.
Because what you're saying is you could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You could do anything. You're trying to check the win out. But the thing about it, John, this is the year, like Franklin Graham is saying, if we'll pray and humble ourselves and get educated on who's running for office and, you know, vote, this whole country will shift. It'll begin to turn in the right direction. It takes a while to turn a ship. But if you don't turn at all, you know, it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
And I know we're fixing to go to a break, but I encourage you, you know, get involved, get educated, and plan to vote. 35% of registered non-Christians did not register to vote.
I believe so,
35%, according to Wall Builders, I believe it is. And that's a vote. If you don't vote, that's voting. Yeah. God's going, you're the king. This is a nation by the people, for the people, we the people. You are the king. Everybody has that authority here. And you chose not to issue an edict and go, I vote for this person or vote for that person. So I encourage you. You know, I can't tell you the destiny of this country, but I can tell you that we will have to answer for the direction of this country if we did not participate or if we chose to vote money and our wallet or sin versus like, dear God, help us. We got to vote righteous, a righteous vote. I tell you what, this is so exciting because of being able to have a conversation about a light perspective of things. Because quite often you're just hearing, you know, facts cranked out when you think about media and you think about news. But I think about prophetic words given by many people. One is Rick Joyner talking about that, you know, God is going to raise up, you know, men and women in media that's going to just tell it like it is. And they're going to be able to speak prophetically. And what's so cool, when you heard that word, it's like, man, that's exactly what God is doing. You know, I had a chance to thank him when Pat Hamilton and I were up there at the Morningstar conference that they had on the summit. And it was just cool to see, you know, these things coming to pass. Again, you know, originally at one time, it was kind of a normal thing. But the more you study history, though, you're thinking like, men have always been corrupt. It's just a different corruption. You're looking back at a president, a particular president right now, off the top of my head. But but you think about politics and then you think about war. War is what used to happen to be able to change power. When you hear people say, we just changed a leadership of a country without any bloodshed, that's serious because historically, that's how Castro got in power. You know, that's how Assad, the president of Syria, got in power by, you know, bloodshed. Mm-hmm. We're staying in power, at least. But America, the unique thing about America is the grace of God. You know, God did shed his grace on us that we can have dramatic change. And there is all kinds of debating. I mean, Christians need to be open to having deep conversations about things. I mean, even learn how to argue both sides of an argument. Absolutely. So that you can kind of get the viewpoints and have some understanding, because we all know in part and we prophesy in part. And sometimes God is putting a Cyrus, for example, in a place because that's the person who's going to take things to the new level.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, that when voting, that look for a candidate that's willing to work with you, because it's we the people. We can't possibly think that one person could have all the answers and could one person change the whole direction and course of a nation. Right. It's all of us together working together. And so we don't want to, you know, throw off our responsibilities as a citizen and say, we're going to select this one person to fix everything.
It's impossible. But you can actually vote for all of your representative government who's going to represent you from your school board to your county commissioner to your city council, all the way up from your state government, governors, all the way up to your senator and your congressperson in Washington, D.C., to your president. I mean, you can actually change all that, and then you can say to all of them, we put you in there, now work together.
That's right.
But if you take the other angle that you're talking about, then all you're going to have is just like factions and things not working. Now, in fact, now if it's going in the wrong direction and taking unconstitutional turns and turning away from the original intent of this nation, sometimes it takes one particular person that just stands up and says, you know, I am not budging. This is I committed to my constituents that, you know, that this is, I believe in the Constitution. I think we should stay within the laws and that we're not going to turn our backs on God. And if they're alone, and there has been recently, you know, senators that have stood alone and just saying, this is just not right.
And what's amazing that those that stand, the thing that those that stand alone could be seen as troublemakers. They change the narrative and say, this person is standing for what is Constitution, persons, whoever that may be, but they're standing for Constitution. And today, if they look for other reasons to break down the Constitution,
right.
Fear is a really big thing right now. If they can scare you with, terrorists and they need to gather information, that means weakening of, of the Constitution, and we have no privacy.
When you think about this, if you don't believe there's times that you got to just stand alone, then you're missing Jesus and what he did.
Yeah.
Because he stood alone. There was a season he was alone on this earth and standing alone. And as he began to move forward in what the Father had called him to do, he had more against him than for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was in leadership. They weren't for him.
Yeah.
All the government was for him. The Senate of that day and the Congress of that day and the political parties of that day and the religious leaders of that day. And they weren't for him.
Mm-mm.
But you know what? He was absolutely 175% right. I mean, he was right. He was right. Even though he was alone, he stood and did everything the Father required him to do. And so many people today are thinking like, hey, if you stand alone, then you're just causing problems. And it's like, hey, I'm not going to turn my back on God.
That's right.
And of course, people began to follow him. But when it came time to the cross and paying the price, he was alone.
Yeah.
He was alone on the cross. Even the very ones that his supporters that was with him, right?
Yeah.
Peter said, I would never leave you.
Yeah.
And of course, it was part of fulfillment of prophecy. But as soon as the shepherd was struck, that everybody fled, including the very disciples that walk with him, that the foundations of heaven is going to contain their name, which is very good in understanding the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. If you failed, if you made a mistake, and even if you're a leader and you're thinking, man, I went and had coffee with so-and-so, and they've taught me to be in agreement with them. We haven't even voted yet. Now they're not going to, it's going to cause all these factions. Just repent and go, listen, I should not have had that coffee with you. You finagled me into that agreement. And I remember one particular meeting. I don't know if it was Pat and me or whoever it was, but we were in this meeting, and these people were gathered in this particular meeting and great friends and all that. But I was realizing that the leader of this meeting was taking things in the wrong direction. I mean, it was so wrong. And I finally had to say, listen, are you guys still going to love me when I leave? Because I'm getting out of here. I cannot stay for this because, what's going on here is not right. It's just not right. And of course they're like, yeah. Well, in that group that was there, the really good people, and because they stayed in that thing that seemed good, one of them ended up in jail. A good man.
Wow.
A very good man doing a very good thing. But because of that leader of that particular thing, and quite often every bit of this has to do with money. If somebody's promising you money, even if you feel like you got a good cause, somebody says, I want to fund your cause. That's money. And the thing about it, you can't sell out your values for money. It's better to be broke and right than to have a lot of money and be in jail because you're broke.
That's right.
Your attorney has the money then.
Or something. Yeah.
So there's times when you have to stand alone. I remember when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a few months ago stood before Congress, and he said in front of everybody, if Israel has to stand alone, we'll stand alone.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say what we're seeing Israel have to stand alone. And we thought that day would never come. I mean, didn't you think at one time, America will always be standing with Israel? And I believe if we do what God is telling us to do in 2016, if we listen to what God's saying through Franklin Graham and Lou Engle and prophetic words that are going forth and get educated and who's going and vote the fear of the Lord. Don't say, hey, this person is going to get me a good job. Isn't it better to have a country that you can go get a job in later than to vote for your job, and then we lose the country?
Listen, during the war in Germany, they had plenty of money in the Weimar Republic.
Oh, yeah.
They had plenty of pieces of paper, but it was worthless.
It was worthless.
You don't want pieces of paper. You want a country.
Yeah, and they took the money. The kids took the money, and imagine bundles of money, and they would just build with it building
houses,
blocks.
Yeah.
Building houses. They would pay people in the Weimar Republic in Germany after World War I, they'd pay them with the money, and they would say, listen, if you hire me on Monday, I want to be paid on Monday because if I work with you all week, the money, that value of that money on Monday would be totally lost by Friday. That's where we're going if we don't repent as a nation. And one way we repent as an American, imagine if you were a king. The way that you repent is start leading your country right because you're a king. Well, in America, it's a government, we the people. It's not the 530 in Washington, D.C. It's us.
Yeah.
We have to get educated. We have to, in regards to who's running, and find out who they are and find, you know, character witnesses that can vouch for them.
Take Jesus to the ballot box with you, you know. Vote godly principles and values. People say, does that really matter? Well, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, not the economy. It's righteousness. And so you have to really know where you lie in all of this.
And don't just get caught up in the thing, I'm just going to vote everybody out. No, you have to be educated about who's actually in. Maybe that's the one that you wanted in.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to bring other people to be around him or her in that. I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for America, the freedom that we have here, Lord God. You're so good to us, Father God. And I just pray even now, Lord God, that you would show us how to get educated in the who is going to be running for office to represent us. Lord, we pray for a fear of the Lord to fall upon all of us in your church to say, you know, I'm going to get educated. I'm going to vote, Lord. And we pray for godly leaders to rise up and say, you know, I will represent my community. You know, I will do that. Lord, we just thank you for Franklin Graham and what he's doing to each particular capital of the state, of the capital in each state in this country. And I pray, Lord, this would be the year, Lord God, that things shift back to your original sin of this nation, God. And I ask you, Lord, I ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com for more. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.